is waiting on the line to join us, and he is the ideal man to join us when we want to delve into all things Italian football. And a man who's going to guide us through the murky waters of Italian football is, of course, Goal.com's very own one and only Chris Vokes joining us on the show today. Chris, mate, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, not just because obviously you're the man to talk all things Italian football with, but also because I like to be surrounded by my fellow Sheffield Wednesday fans on the show. So, Chris, mate, it's a pleasure to have you on board. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, safety in numbers at the moment, isn't it, Wednesday? So.
Yeah, we don't have many of those numbers in the win column or in the points at the moment. So yeah, I'll take a massive fans over the points at least. It's quite nice to at least know there's some of us still about. Chris, we need to get into Italian football though. Before we get into tonight's fixture between Roma and Chievo, which is going to be an interesting one and a great opportunity for Roma to extend that lead, take a look back at some of the action from the week, and particularly Milan being able to get a 1-1 draw against Lazio in midweek. That's a reassuring result, surely, for Rossoneri fans.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. They've taken the lead. We're in a winning position. They've worked in binary recently in home games with a lot of 1-0 home victories. And it looked like they'd get another one against the Lazio side, who, apart from the victory over Cagliari at the weekend, haven't had the greatest of runs. And so there was a bit of pressure all of a sudden on Vladimir Petkovic, who we've got to remember had a great season with them last season and won them the Coppa Italia. But the fact that Lazio have had a bit of a wobble at the start of the season, not looked particularly great, the fact that Roma across the city are doing as well as they're doing, it's come under an awful lot of pressure. And I think more than anyone, Lazio will be taking that point as a kind of reassuring point at this stage, albeit against a Milan that have struggled so far this season and a long, long way off the pace. It's still Milan away and they've still been doing pretty well in their home games, but for that defeat against Napoli. And I think more than anything, Lazio will be pleased to take away a point, having fallen behind against a side who have got a reasonably good home record.
Where have both of these sides been falling then? Because with Milan, you can point arguably to injuries, you can point to kind of an experience of a group of players that in some particular areas of the pitch haven't been playing too well together. What about Lazio? Where have they been stumbling so far this season, do you think?
Well, just going back to Milan for a second, I think their defence has been the be-all and end-all of their problems, if you like, because if you look at the table, I think there's only about four or five teams with a worse defence than Milan. Milan have got the worst defence in the top half of the table. And that's been, you know, the reason for them being where they are. You know, they conceded, was it 2 away to Torino, 2 or 3 away to Bologna. They just keep conceding goals. And last season they had trouble defending set pieces. This season they just seem to be having trouble defending anything. Lazio, you know, I think there's been this case over the last couple of seasons, I'd say, where to a large extent there's been a bit of pressure put on the likes of Klose and Hernandez to come through with everything. You know, Klose to get all the goals, Hernandez to create them all. And in fact, fans have been turning a little bit on Hernandez in recent weeks, saying, you know, if you're not up to like stepping up to the mark, then what are you doing? And they've only won, as I say, that one Cagliari game in the last five, and they're starting to look at their production. And the fact that they only have Klose and Hernandez, and Candreva has been a little bit off form recently as well. You know, that kind of midfield and forward line, all of a sudden people are starting to question, and that was the one thing that was really going for them over the last couple of years.
Elsewhere midweek, we had the cracking game between Fiorentina and Napoli as well, and Napoli able to edge their way past Viola. Fiorentina, we've kept on talking about measurements and acid tests for them in fixtures this season, about whether they can show their championship title pushing credentials. Do you think we are seeing that Fiorentina still just aren't quite that cut above the rest and able to make a push with Napoli and Juventus for this area?
I think what we're seeing is that you know, without Mario Gomez, they miss an awful lot. There were times in the game last night where, the magnificent game, by the way, there were times in that match where they were the team with all of the initiative. They had a lot of the ball. They put some really good moves together. Both sides, it was really to and fro. Napoli were really kept on their heels at times. The two in midfield of Damali and Inla, Barami and Inla, were really kind of sat in front of the back four for much of the game because Fiorentina were really putting them under pressure, but they just didn't have that killer instinct. Napoli were able to phase out Rossi for the most part, and that left a kind of bit of a hole where Gomez would normally be playing. And as much as Juan Cuadrado had a great game and really got at Napoli's back four at times, they just couldn't seem to turn that mountain of possession at times into something more tangible. And, you know, it's telling that in the games where they've been dominant, they haven't always got the points. And I think that just shows that while Fiorentina have got a very good team and a first 11 or 12 that could really challenge, they don't have the deeper squad that Juventus obviously have. And even from the evidence of last night and the last few games, Napoli also have that kind of strength in depth as well.
Looking at Fiorentina's front line, and it's been discussed so much, the attacking quality that Fiorentina do have, though, going forward. Giuseppe Rossi, obviously he's a player who's been, you know, had his injury problems and whatnot, but seeing him back like this, are you surprised how well he's started this season, considering the amount of time that he's had away from the game?
Oh, yeah, putting it into the context of his injury record of recent. Yeah, it's a phenomenal start. He's top scorer in Serie A, and he's really shown what he can do. And I suppose it kind of helped that he was fit by May rather than by August. It meant that he had the full summer, he had the full pre-season. And Fiorentina did very well with Stevan Jovetic a couple of years back when Jovetic had a serious knee injury, missed an entire season. Montenegro actually kind of brought him back for the qualifiers in, I think it was March. Whereas Fiorentina held him back because they knew that rushing him back for March or April in a season where they, you know, they weren't particularly going anywhere wouldn't necessarily benefit him longer term. They spent that time with him, made it a kind of long pre-season for him from March to August, and that really benefited him and the team. And I think you've seen the same thing with Giuseppe Rossi, the fact that he was kind of fit towards the end of last season. They weren't going to rush him back. They wanted to see a longer-term benefit from Rossi, and they're starting to reap that at the moment. And yeah, he's done very, very well to start the season. It's now just a case of, you know, having spent such a long time out of the game, it's like 18, 19 months he didn't play. Can he now cope with the rigours of a full 38-game season? And you know, so far, it's great signs. It's just a case of how they nurse him through it at certain times in the middle part of the season there.
Now, Napoli's Rafa Benitez has been named, Chris, as the part of the 10 men who are in the running for the Coach of the Year, FIFA World Coach of the Year award. Benitez obviously hasn't had much time at Napoli, only the early part of this season, of course, and much of what he'd be voted for was what happened at Chelsea. But from what he started at Napoli, is this a change for the positive overall, do you think, from Mazzarri? Because what he's doing at Inter right now might make people wonder if Napoli would have been better off with trying to keep hold of Mazzarri and not bringing in somebody like Benitez.
Well, I think Benitez has always shown that he has great qualities as a coach, just in his Napoli time alone in his 10 games in charge. You know, Mazzarri had a very kind of good setup at Napoli, but it would have been a big task. It would have been almost a new job for Mazzarri this season to cope with the post-Cavani era, if you like, because a lot of the time that he was there, he had Lavezzi to kind of be the star on the field. Then, of course, he had Cavani for a couple of years where he was just magnificent. And now it was like a whole new rebuilding job that needed to be done, and Mazzarri never was quite able to get that question mark answered in defence in terms of the back three that he played with for the entirety of his time there, pretty much. They just had those issues at the back that he couldn't quite solve, and yet Benitez seems to be bit by bit solving them. They still don't have the greatest centre-backs in the world. They've brought in, obviously, Raul Albiol. They've switched to the back four, and that just little bits like that have seemed to help. They still, as I say, they have players like Federico Fernandez and Miguel Britos and Paolo Cannavaro, who each have their qualities, but they're not who you'd consider to be among the top. You get a lot of people saying that Napoli still need a top centre back, but at the moment they're doing pretty well in terms of goals conceded. I think it's only 7 in 10 games so far in the league this season. And also, he's got them working fantastically up front. Just the way that He's getting the very best out of Jose Callejon already after he had a bit of an up and down time in Madrid. Gonzalo Higuain is proving that he's an all-round striker in the way that, for instance, he set up the goal for Callejon last night. Dries Mertens has taken a little bit of time to get used to the rigours of Serie A football, but he seems to be getting there. And Benitez seems to have this ability. He's a very trophied coach. He always seems to be able to get that little 10% extra out of players at the right times, and hopefully that will stand Napoli in good stead, because, you know, looking at the fans, looking at the passion, looking at the history of Napoli and what they've had in the past, you really want them to show their great side, and Benitez seems to be able to do that right now.
Another man who was on that list with Benitez is, of course, Conte, Antonio Conte of Juventus. Two Scudettos back to back. It was no surprise that he was going to be on there. But is he genuinely, do you think, in the running, especially when you look at some of the names that have A, been left off that list, and B, that have actually made it onto that list?
No, I don't think he is. Partly because of the record in Europe. Yes, they turned around the season last year in Europe after drawing their first three group games and got to the quarterfinals. And for a first time back after a 2.5 year wait, it wasn't a bad it wasn't a bad year. But when you compare it to somebody like Juventus, who obviously won the treble with Bayern Munich, then I think he just leaves Conte standing. Particularly as well when you think about how Serie A is regarded at the moment, because there's all this talk that it's not a strong league at the minute. I don't necessarily agree with that, especially this new season already has proven that there's quality and there's strength right down the league. It doesn't just because there weren't massive amounts of money spent on it, and just because people tend to still watch it at home rather than go to the ground, doesn't mean that it's not one of the stronger leagues in the world. And therefore, that kind of, if you take that into account, it boosts Conte's credentials as a double Scudetto winning coach. But at the same time, when you look at the lack of competition that Juve might have had at stages of last season, then I don't think that's a great shout in Conte's direction kind of thing for the award. But I'd say that if Conte were to win the Scudetto again this year and get to at least the quarterfinals of the Champions League again next year, then maybe in next year he'll have a bit of a say. But when you consider what Bayern had done last year, then I think there should probably be only one winner.
How do you rate how Conte is mounting this charge at the moment for Juventus? He spoke so much in the early part of the season about making sure that complacency didn't creep into this side. Do you think we have seen it still on a number of occasions?
I don't know about complacency. They were blown away for 7 or 8 minutes against Fiorentina and lost the game as a result. They've only dropped 2 of the points in the league all season, and those were Inter just before a Champions League game. I think that the big question mark now is what they do in Europe. As I say, Juventus have always prided themselves on their ability to win titles, and obviously they've got 29/31, depending on who you speak to. They've never really done it in Europe, though, despite a huge number of finals and semi-finals. It's just the two continental wins, and when you look at that, you want to see Juventus really competing in Europe, and the way that they've started their European season, disappointing draws against Copenhagen and Galatasaray, and then the loss in Madrid, it looks as though they're still just that little bit off the pace, and the game against Real Madrid next week is going to be huge for them, especially if Galatasaray beat Copenhagen again, and then, you know, they're left really scrambling about, and the question mark now is, does he change his system to suit European football? Because the 3-5-2 has worked magnificently in Serie A over the last couple of years, but it just seems to not quite get them to where they need to be in Europe. They're exposed a little bit more at certain times because of the lack of quality between the lines when they're playing that system, and so maybe it's going to take Conte to have a play around like he did against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu when he went with the back four. Maybe he needs to really have a long, hard think about how he tackles Europe before you really start to see the best of Juve on the European stage as well as the Italian one.
And just finally, Chris, we have the game tonight as well. Chievo taking on Roma in Rome. The side that really have just impressed immensely Roma in these first nine games of the season. And getting somebody like Michael Bradley back into the side after he missed the early part of the year, it's only strengthening this Roma side at the moment. Do you see it getting stopped anytime soon?
Well, it's strange because yesterday I was looking at Roma's fixtures coming up thinking, well, you know, they've not had the most difficult of starts. But then when you look at the games coming up, obviously Chievo tonight, they play Torino away at the weekend, then Sassuolo at home, Cagliari at home, Atalanta away. Before they play Fiorentina at home in December, that could be 14 wins. It could well be 14 wins. The way that they're playing at the moment, they're blowing apart teams. Like, they've already played Inter away, which was a great result. They've beaten Napoli, they've beaten Lazio. So as much as people are thinking, well, you know, the big tests are still to come. What big tests? They've got Fiorentina, Milan and Juve, really, of the kind of significant clubs still to play this season. They don't play Juve until round 18 at the start of 2014. It could well be that, you know, with two big wins over Fiorentina and away to Milan in December, Roma could still be at least unbeaten by Christmas. And it's amazing to think that when, at the start of the season, you look at their squad, you say, you know, with Osvaldo Lamela and Marquinhos having been sold, what really did they have left? Well, they have 9 wins out of 9 so far.
It's very peculiar with Rome because I remember for the last couple of years, people have been saying, oh, this is their year to finally get back Champions League football, to start maybe pushing up the league table once again. And now it's actually happening in a year where everybody was kind of writing them off, as you say, Chris. It's completely going against the grain, as usual with Roma.
Yeah, and the obviously the remarkable statistic last year was about the amount of goals they conceded because of the way that Zdeněk Zeman played. It was very much wide open in terms of how they defended. This season, obviously there's been the odd change, for instance, bringing in Medhi Benatia from Udinese, but not so much so that you'd suddenly, you know, put your money on them having conceded only one goal in 9 games. You know, they've got the best defence in Europe. They're the only unbeaten, well, the only 100% team left in Europe. And I wouldn't have even had them down as the last unbeaten or 100% side in Italy, let alone Europe. It really is a magnificent story. And the way that Rudy Garcia's got them playing at the moment, as I say, they're looking at the fixtures to come, there's not an awful lot stopping them opening a bit of a gap. And it's just a question now of how many wins they have to put together before we all start taking them seriously as a possible Scudetto winner.
Have we started that yet, Chris, though? Have we started taking them seriously, do you think, after 9 games? Or do we still need a little bit more time to see if the proof's in the pudding?
I think it needs more time. I think it needs probably Napoli and Juventus to trip each other up next week, because obviously they come head-to-head at Juventus Stadium. I think if, for instance, that was to finish in a draw, and Roma were to beat Chievo and Torino and Sassuolo in that time, then you're starting to see a gap of like 7-8 points opening up. And maybe then, you know, that'll be, what, 12 games in. Maybe at that point, that's when we start to look at it and say, Roma really can win the Scudetto, because, yes, they're going to come across times where they're going to have further injury worries. But they've had their injury trouble so far. They've had kind of suspensions in key areas. But when you look at the kind of backup that they have, like you say, Michael Bradley's just come back. With Maicon being out, they've brought in Torresidis, who's played well. When Balzaretti was suspended, Dodor came in and played well. And the more you look at it, the more you think, well, actually, they play as well as anyone, at least in Italy, if not Europe at the moment. They've got a certain style about them that is just really difficult for other teams to keep up with. They have a bit of strength in depth that some of the other challengers don't necessarily have. Maybe with another few victories under their belts, maybe Roma can be really taken seriously as a Scudetto champion, potential champion.
We are unfortunately going to have to wait and see, and that's all we can do. But Roma at the moment ploughing through Serie A, as you say, Chris, the only 100% side in Europe at the moment. Chris, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you back on the show once again. I do apologise about the mix-up that we had yesterday in scheduling, and I hope you can A, forgive us, and B, accept our welcome return next time we try and get you on our show, mate.
if you can guarantee a Wednesday win at the weekend, you can do anything.
I can't. Nobody can do that, unfortunately. No one can guarantee a win. I can't even find a win kind of thing at the moment. It's I'm leaving it on a sour note now. Oh, damn, Chris. Cheers, mate. Thank you so much for joining us today, man. Take care. Have a good day, mate. And we will catch up very soon indeed.
Thanks, Ollie.
Cheers. Chris Folks there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Serie A and Italian football. The big games keep on coming in Italy tonight. Roma take on Chievo, bottom against top. Will little Chievo able to fool the giant that is Roma at the moment? Of course, 100% 9 wins from 9, 1 goal conceded. And as Chris was saying, just incredible to think after...